Okay, we're going to get started. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. And then I'll explain why we're reading those two verses. Wherefore, we also, there were those who already obtained a good report. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as I looked on this, it was like, what came to me was, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. You know, a lot of people would go, I have to quit this, I have to lay this aside, and I can't do this. And just shorten it out. Everything that we're learning is the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're going to be found in him. And it's like, so anything we're right now going by faith, the faith of the Son of God, we believe. We're just believing. So if there's weighty things and the things that are easily besetting you, because if you don't lay them aside, that's unbelief. Just lay aside that unbelief. Say, I don't want anything to do with unbelief. I want to know him and I want to be ready. But not just when Jesus comes. We get the cart before the horse. There's a work to be done in the saints of God. We have to allow the provisional side of the gospel to be a practical in our life. And he's doing that work right now. And I believe that when she's ready, the Father's going to say, she's ready, son. Go get your bride. But looking unto Jesus, notice it's Jesus. Savior, our head. He's the author. He's the finisher. He started it. He'll finish it. But he gives his faith. We're learning about him. And the more I know about him, the more I am being ready to be presented to him as a bride, holy because he's holy, spotless because he's spotless, undefiled because he is undefiled. And we stop looking at all the things of us, and we'll see why in just a little bit. You're looking at him. He's the one who started it. We couldn't do it. He finishes our faith. Notice it's our belief that is being changed. That starts in our heart. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We need to remember that he's been set before us. He went this weary way for us. He died for us. He arose for a new life for us. He could say, well, I'm going to do it so I can be the head. I'll be the king, you know. He didn't. His whole thought was upon us. He wants us to do what? Overcome. How many of us can overcome anything? I can't. There's only one way, and it goes back to the author and the finisher of our faith. I can overcome through him. One man brought us down, but one man brought us up. All of us in a place of resurrection and in victory. As I looked on this, it was, this is my beloved son. That was after Jesus went down. He was baptized, but he came up. He came up out of those judgment waters. Jesus also arose. His head came up first. That always stood out to me. There was a whole body that went down of sin, and he comes up a new man, a new head now. We have Christ, but the body is to follow in that resurrection and in that life. What did he say about Jesus? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And then we hear the word of God, and he says, without faith, it's impossible for you to please God. So I need to know who is my faith? What am I truly believing in? He has to give us the faith of the Son of God. We begin to see as he knew and he saw, and he went to that cross. But always remember, he is set before us. He is my joy. He's my sunshine. He's the love of my life, but he is my crown. He's the one. If he hadn't have come, we would never become victorious and sit with him on his throne. It's all because the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing this all the time. We sing it all the time. But after I heard Ray's class, this song was on my heart so powerful. I have, now think, he's talking to you. I have paid the debt. I paid your debt. You're clean slate. You're a new man now. I took care of all that. So you lay aside every weight and sin. If you don't believe that, lay it aside because it's going to hold you back. I paid the debt upon the cruel tree. From thy sin and sickness, thou hast been made free. Under Satan's thraldom, thou shalt never be. Why? Because I overcome for thee. You see, I overcame, it was for you. So you would now have the grace and the ability to come forth as gold. You're going to come forth and be the one that will stand at the right hand. Psalms 45. Be with him in the gold of Ophir. It's pure gold. It's the richest of all. I overcame at the cross for thee. Thou shalt overcome. Now see, we will overcome, but it's through one man. The one man who already, he's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he wants, there's got to be a wife there. He's going to have a bride with him. But they're going to be in agreement. She is in agreement right now with her head. I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of that resurrection. The fellowship of the sufferings he went through. I want to understand what that power of resurrection is, because it's for me. You're going to overcome, and then you wear a crown with me. Overcome. Overcome, but notice, through me. Not us, trying everything we can. We got to overcome. We got to be an overcomer, because we want that prize. We want, what is your prize? A crown? You see, we wouldn't even have that glory. It's his glory. It's him. Man looks to have something to place on a head. But it's the meaning, the attitude of a heart. It's not doing something to get something. It's walking in what I already did and receive more of me. Receive even more. You're under grace now. Now you let everybody see. From the law of condemnation, you're free. Sin shall never have dominion over thee. Believe that. Thou shalt overcome through faith, his faith, alone in me. I see this as two people walking and talking and sharing in his love and in his grace. It doesn't talk about a whole bunch. It's saying, you, everyone must lay hold of this themselves. Sin is not going to have dominion over you. Thou shalt overcome through faith alone in me. Resting what? In my promise. Ray brought it out in the class that resting, that's a labor. Study. Study that you'll know him. You're going to. Resting on my promise. Now look, it's effortless. And it's free. Everything Jesus has done for us, we never had to pay. And he said, freely you have received. Freely you give now. Let him overcome through that blood. Let him be your testimony. That's who we're magnifying him, his grace, what he's done. Satan, I resisting, he must surely flee. Why? Because if I'm trying to do it in myself, he's going to use those things against you. He can't come against the new creation. He has already won the victory. Jesus is victor. He has overcome him, the world, the flesh, the devil. Thou shalt wear a crown in glory land with me. But notice, having overcome through one man and from all bondage free, that's taken your place in him and be now alive unto God. All my wealth of glory thou shalt surely see. Don't you want to know his wealth of all the riches that he has, thou shalt surely see. Because I've overcome, it was for thee. Now when you go in here, remember, I'm looking. I want to look unto Jesus every day. Yes, looking for him to come. But I want to, those who love his appearing, he's appearing to us today. You know, not just when he comes. He's appearing right now in the Word of God to each one of us. Do we love the truth above all else? Because we're going to find out that it is, there is characteristics of an overcomer. And I just wrote down a few. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It's by faith. You're going to walk the walk. You're going to talk the talk. But it's all of the faith. Jesus. There's going to be endurance. You're going to stand fast and let no man take your crown. That doesn't mean you already have it. It's the promise of a crown. Your submission to him. Don't let someone come in and say, God never said you do that. God never said, I'm sure he didn't say that to her. Or he didn't say that to him. He never said that to me. I bet he has. I can stand on the authority of God's word, and I know he has revealed it to everyone who loves his appearing. He has revealed it. Well, I want to be found. These people, they want to be found in him having not their own righteousness. That's Philippians 3:9. They are going to be in total dependence. Total. That means the complete. All of it, everything in their life. I don't care if it's making a loaf of bread. Complete dependence. Otherwise, even cooking becomes a work. It must be done in Christ, in his love, in his way, in the new man. And it's to what? Because you love the body. You're doing it for him. That becomes a lot. I'm telling you, when you're doing, like, say there's a funeral or you're having people come. Don't go the easy way. You don't have to do the easy way. You want the very best for the Lord. Give him all that you have. You're going to feed his body. You know, you're giving it to him. You're going to be complete counsel of his word. I want all of the counsel of his word. Because I could do nothing when I'm in total dependence. I couldn't do anything. I can do nothing, little things or great things. I may do them, but they're going to just come to naught. Don't we want the eternal? All eternal glory, eternal wealth? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Complete counsel of God's word. Endures forever. I put Isaiah 4:8 and 1 Peter 1:25, but I'm going to read Isaiah 46-8 because I really like this. Isaiah 40. Okay. In the very beginning, it's saying, comfort you, my people, saith the Lord your God. Speak comfortable to Jerusalem. Every time I see that word, speak comfort to the foundation of peace. That's the only place. And yes, I know Jerusalem, but no, it's a foundation of peace. That's what it should be. I want you to cry unto her. Now, when you get over to verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? What am I going to say? Have you ever said that? What am I going to cry? Here's what you're going to cry out loud. All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass wither, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. How much do we want to have God's word? That's what's going to endure. That's what's going to remain. That's what's going to come through the fire, through the flood. It's going to come through. It's going to stand sure. We have the sure word of prophecy, the sure word of God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and the work is before him. And then, as we had on the grace and glory, he shall feed. He shall feed his flocks like a shepherd. Well, the other characteristics, I wrote down 5, living that new life. Are you living the new life? Not just salvation. I want us to go to Philippians chapter 3. Because if you're going to live the new life, the first thing we got to get down right is our battle is against wickedness in high places. It's your adversary. It's the devil. And he'll work how. Remember when he tempted Jesus? What did he tempt him with? All these things of the flesh. Things that look good, something that tastes good. Oh, I'll make you to be high and mighty. I'll make you this. I'll make you reign above all. Look at all this. I'll give it all to you. The world says that too. Even people who are walking after their flesh. Maybe selling drugs. I don't know what they sell, but maybe they're selling that. I'll give you all this if you just walk with me. But always know the devil is not going to be there when you get caught or when it falls apart. You're not even going to see him around. So live the new life in Philippians chapter 3. When you look at Philippians 3, it says, finally, my brethren, just rejoice in the Lord. And he's going to say that. Paul says that all the time. Rejoice in the Lord, your new head. In everything he's already given you, it's done, it's finished, but it isn't finished in practicality of our life. But if that's our desire, he's going to keep showing you your grace upon grace upon grace, strength upon strength, glory, his glory. He goes through and he tells you all the things that could have made him big and mighty. But he goes to verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I count as loss for Christ. And then you keep going, he said, I count it all things but loss, because he wants the, not just the knowledge of God, he wants the excellency of the knowledge. This is a throwing beyond, this is much more than just these things. Gene said it last week, and I've been pondering that. Set your affection on things above. Seek those things. What are they? The Word of God says there are pleasures at my right hand forever. There are pleasures there. There's a right hand of power there. There's a place of intercession there. There's the Father. There's the Son. The residing, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's leading us and guiding us. There's so much there. But in verse 9, I want to be found in him. I don't want to have my own righteousness, which is of the law. That's what people look at. They go, oh, she's a good lady. She's a good man. Do you see all they do all the time? Do you see how they act? And that's wonderful if it's from here, if it's really in here. And only God knows. That's why we can't judge. He's the righteous judge, the judge of all of us. He knows. We right now are at that judgment seat of Christ. All of us, he knows what we're doing. And I don't have to go around and tell people you did this. And you don't have to tell people that. They already know it. They do know it. But do they know the truth? We have to say the truth because that's what's going to make them free. They've already been set free. It's going to make them free. Just like he told Paul, I'm going to make you a minister of the gospel, my good news. I'm going to have you tell them. I'm going to tell you what to say. As I looked in here, then you keep going. It talks all about the resurrection, and you can go from 7 to 15. All the things that were gained to him counted but lost, but why? And you keep on going. He wants to know him in verse 10. And the power, not just the resurrection. I want to know the power of the resurrection. Fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. How many people understand not just being raised from the dead, but also the out-resurrection? Out from among the resurrected ones. There are many who have come up in a new life, but we want an early resurrection. We want to come up out of and into all this glorious riches of Christ, everything. And it's for him. So then you're going to see, he said, not as though I've already attained it. I have not already attained. See, these things are provisional. Jesus did it all. We just sang about it. Either we're already perfect, complete, whole. But I follow after. Paul said, I'm still following after what? If that I may be apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, I think love begets love. If someone loves me, I want to follow that love. I want love. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. All those things. Why? Because every one of those things, if he gets caught up in that, he is just walking in unbelief. Because it's not about Paul, and it's not about Paul. It's about Jesus. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm looking unto him, the author and the finisher of my faith. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. A lot of people, we love callings. I mean, and that is, it's good, but they've got to be in their place. This one is the high calling of God. It's in Christ Jesus. Everything we sing about, everything we talk about, our testimony, it's the life I now live. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So what you do know, don't forget about that. You're going to keep on growing. There's more tomorrow. There's more today. Be thus minded. Let all these things be our desire in our heart too. But he said, be thus minded. If anything, you be otherwise minded. Are you believing that he has told us, I will give you the desires of your heart? He made these new desires there. And we want them. But if you're otherwise minded, maybe you're not grown up yet. You know, I thank God for this. This is real to me because when I was in Burlingame, there were people praising God about a tabernacle. And I could not understand. I go, why are they all so excited about a tabernacle? You know, I was born again when I was 5 years old, but I didn't know it. I didn't have this kind of truth. But he's been faithful. If I was otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto me. What do you want to know about him? He wants you to know. Just ask him. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us go ahead. Now, you walk by the same rule. What you already have, keep walking it. Let us mind that same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk not as I have us for an example. For many are walking, of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Say, I want to walk. You know, so many people say, well, I don't think God is a hater. No, he's not. But I'm going to tell you something. He said, you are to hate the things that God hates. You're not to love them. But that goes for your life too. Anything that's otherwise mine, anything that's against the knowledge of God, casting down, you see, the mind, casting down every thought, every imagination, all the high things. We know that's pride. But what is it doing? It's coming against the knowledge of God, whose end is destruction. Are you building with hay, wood, and stubble? It's going to burn up. Your good works, going to burn up. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And as I was sharing this with someone, it came to us about in Genesis. Where did he tell the serpent you're going to be? All the way in the beginning. Because you've done this thing, you are going to be on your belly and eat the dust of the earth. He couldn't blame anyone. He started it. And I love it because to me, he was like, put as low as you can go, right back to the dust. Their glory is their shame. We want to say, I'm not ashamed because of the gospel. They mind earthly things. And you're going to say, oh, I love this one part that's coming. For our conversation is in heaven, okay? Not just the things we say, our manner of life. We're looking for him every day, not just to come, even to satisfy the needs and the hearts of every desire in this place, in his people, from whence we also look. Who are they looking for? Their Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, what is the one thing, and I love when God revealed this, what's the one thing that people always say, oh gosh, I just wish I could change this. Now think of that. What is that? They're trying to change the body. I don't want to do the things that are there. Oh, this body, it just does this, and it wants these desires and this. We have to reckon ourselves dead. He's put it all in order. He's given us godly counsel. But he said, who? He. We're looking for him. He's going to change your vile body. Do you see it as vile? Do you know even Satan, he talked about vile. But I love this, the vile body. And if you look at this, you'll see that I wrote down vile affections in Romans 1, 25 and 26. You can read that later. It talks about vile affections, S. Okay? There's more than one. But when you are setting your affection, one affection, that's your love, your whole desire, everything him, it's all him. You set your affection. If you have been risen with Christ, set your affection. Everything about him. Set your affection on things above. And as we heard, what is above? We've been blessed. Are we really enjoying redemption? Are we really enjoying forgiveness or just for ourselves? I like it because I couldn't forgive people. And it's because of God's grace. How much has he forgiven you? That's how much you're going to forgive someone. How much has he shown you love? That's how much you're going to show love. Because it's not your love, it's the love that he has given you. You have experienced this love. You've experienced his forgiveness. And if he can do that for me, don't you want others to know he can do that for you? Not that we go around and have to talk about, well, he delivered me from smoking. And, you know, that is a testimony, though. I know that is a part of our what he has done for us. But it's like he has to deliver us. But he already has. I just enjoy it now. He took it away. He did it. Why? Because turn to God from idol. Turn to him. I'm the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be perfect. Be whole. Be a finished work. But I have to know what the finished work is. And that's why when we sing an overcomer through Christ, that we understand what is an overcomer. That is what we talked about. Their faith is in Christ. They walk a life of faith, the endurance, the standing fast, total dependence. But I love this one, the complete counsel of God. You know, yesterday, and I can admit this, yesterday I worked, okay? Now, he has given us things and we're to take care of it, but we don't put those things before him. Anyway, that's how he's shown me. And it's like, because my first desire, my first love is him. And I was so tired. I was exhausted after weeding and planting seed and fertilizing and watering. I was planning to go here and do this and that afterwards. Not me. I was about dead. I couldn't do it. And then he brought all these verses about how the grass will fade, the flowers. It's okay, but let my attitude be, Jesus, you first. Thank you for the lawn you've given me. Thank you for the strength that you give me. It's all going to point back to him. And if it doesn't, something's out of order. It's not right. Everything should point to him because he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He's going to take care of us. And I saw that in so many ways, just to think that, well, Penny, if you want the desires of your heart, I got to get your heart right. Don't be affections on all this stuff and this stuff. Put your affection on me, on things above. You know, people had talked about pleasures and the pleasures of this life. And, you know, I'm not saying you can't do anything, but we need to remember first, there are pleasures at his right hand forever. How many people say that? No, they talk about the pleasures of this life. There's more in the new man, what he's done and provided for us. Okay, that's all I got to give this morning, but I just thank the Lord for it. I thank him for not just bringing it, but even the correction in it, it just becomes, it's mine. It is mine, and it should be yours. Let's all stand for a word of prayer and just give thanks to the Lord for what he's doing, and pray for Gene in the next message.